As I mentioned at the beginning of service, I talked about us being in the season of Easter. And for 50 days, the church lives into the resurrection. And if you've been around our church over the past several weeks, you've heard us talking about living into the resurrection by sharing in resurrection meals, by pressing into resurrection friendships, and by taking time to experience resurrection wonder. So I hope that you have really experienced, in one way or another, resurrection over the past 40-odd days. I also want to mention a couple things that have come up over the past couple of weeks. This idea of being a people who look outward, a people who create places of belonging and becoming, that we might become one flock with one shepherd. And if you were here last week, you heard us talking about a Holy Spirit welcome. A welcome inspired by the Holy Spirit that says, go, that says, speak. A Holy Spirit welcome that says, yes, that invites others into spiritual conversation and spiritual dialogue. Someone sent me an email after last week's sermon. I had made mention of a t-shirt that I saw that said, my get up and go has got up and went. And this person reminded me that that's actually a Pete Seeger song from the 1970s. Any Pete Seeger fans out there? My get up and go has got up and went. It's actually on YouTube. You can watch it. And it's quite a cute folk song. So those are the things that we've been talking about over the past week. And today we talk about discipleship revealed, exclamation mark. And if I had a PowerPoint slide, I'd have some really neat 90s font with lots of high-tech Microsoft Office graphics. And you know that explosive bubble that you can put on PowerPoint slides? Anyone do PowerPoint slides? There's some grade 7 or 8 people here that might do that. It kind of sounds like a Star Weekly headline, doesn't it? And I had originally titled this sermon, Abiding Friendships That Will Bear Much Fruit. But I thought that title was too boring. And so I thought, alas, a new title, Discipleship Revealed. Dun, 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 dun. Building that sense of intrigue on a lazy Sunday long weekend morning. So let's talk about discipleship revealed. John 15 is loaded, loaded, loaded with lots of directions for a preacher to go. So I thought today we'd put these reflections under the banner of discipleship. A discipleship that is revealed as we put our lives in the hands of the Master. A discipleship that's revealed as we put our lives in the hands of the Master. Put our lives in the hands of the Master. Easy to say, but really, what does that look like? What does that mean? I think sometimes in Christian culture, we throw out these phrases like that, put your lives in the hands of the Master, and what does it really mean? Is that just Christianese jargon? Or does that actually mean something to us as the people of God here in this place for such a time as this? Well, putting our lives in the hands of the Master, I'm going to suggest that it means we abide. It means a few things, and three words that I'm going to use this morning are abide and friendship and then reveal. And so the first word is abide. We read in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. 44 times in the Gospel of John, the gospel writer uses some form of the word abide. And if you have taken any kind of Bible interpretation class, teachers will tell you that if a word is repeated, pay attention. So 44 times in the Gospel of John, some form of the word abide, or the root word is meno in the Greek, is used. And this root word carries a range of meanings: staying in place, enduring, remaining, living, dwelling, lasting, continuing. And so if we take this word to heart, we get this idea that abide means some way of staying or enduring. And we recognize that this might take effort, this might take time, this might take perseverance. But even from the psalm today, we're reminded that this abiding or this steadfastness or this faithfulness isn't conjured up in our own strength, but it's in response from a God who in Psalm 98 says, "The Lord has done great things. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel." So this abiding doesn't just need to come from our own strength. This abiding is in response to a God, a Yahweh, a God who has walked with us for years and centuries and eons as a faithful, steadfast God. As we move through this text, we see in John 15 that Jesus makes this connection between abiding and friendship. In verse 12 of today's gospel, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends." This is one of the rare and perhaps only place in the Gospels where Jesus calls his disciples friends. And as we look at that text, those few verses a little closer, we see what's going on in the friendship. This commandment to love one another. This exhortation to sacrifice, to lay down our lives. This assurance that we're not servants, but we're friends. And servants don't know everything that's going on, but friends do know everything that's going on in the relationship. Jesus invites us into friendship. And there's this sense of declaration where Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus calls us to a deep friendship. And even as Jeremy's already alluded to, that's challenging for every age. What does it mean to grasp this friendship of Jesus idea? This is more than another t-shirt that I've seen that says, "Jesus is my homeboy." Have you seen that t-shirt? It was made popular in pop culture, Jeremy just told me this morning, by Ashton Kutcher. Jesus is my homeboy. It's so informal. It's so maybe non-endearing. But Jesus calls us to this deep friendship. This friendship where divinity somehow and mysteriously but powerfully meets humanity. And so this sense of abiding and this trying to wrap our minds around friendship brings us to this point of discipleship revealed. In the second part of verse 16, Jesus says, "And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another." I think it's all good and well to talk about deep abiding friendship with Jesus, but there's more than just this feel-good relationship of being in a relationship with Christ. And if we leave it at that, I think we fall short of the fullness of what this abiding and this friendship means. Because Jesus also calls us to be a people who take this inward transformation and move it outwardly. Over the past few weeks, the many biblical stories that we've been looking through in the lectionary have urged us to have this outward focus. And last week I pointed us to Jeremiah 29. Not Jeremy 29, but I think Buffy has her own version of Jeremy 29. Jeremiah 29, where the text still rings through my ears and mind. Jeremiah 29:7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. If we embrace this invitation to abide, if we embrace this invitation to be disciples who have this friendship with Christ, this abiding friendship will have an outward effect. And so this is where discipleship is revealed. It's revealed in being a people who bear fruit. And I want you to open your Bibles. You have Bibles in the pew rack before you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. Just to help us get a handle on what this revealing of fruit might mean. Galatians 5, verse 22. You also have a piece of paper in this morning's bulletin. Just a small colored piece of paper. Like 2 by 3 inches. For you in metric, it's 20 millimeters by 45 millimeters. You have a little sheet, and you have a Bible. Galatians 5, verse 22. When discipleship is revealed, I'm wanting to say here and challenge us to reflect on the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. This is a ninefold fruit. It's a singular fruit, but it has nine items in it. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I want you to keep your Bibles open, because as we respond to God's word this morning, I want us to do a so what here, where we actually jot something down on paper. Bearing fruit is a verb. And as we just spend 1 or 2 minutes with our Bibles in our laps, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and thinking about what God might call us to be as fruit bearers, I want you to just jot one sentence down. A sentence that says, we are being called to reveal blank, one of those nine fruit. We are being called to reveal blank through blank. We are being called to reveal blank through blank. And so in the first blank, just put one of those ninefold fruits. Maybe it's love, or maybe it's joy. Maybe one of those words just jumps out on the page, from the page, into your mind or your heart. We're being called to reveal blank. And just think of us as this community of faith. And then I want you to put through blank. Maybe it's some action. Maybe it's some program that we do at the church. Where I'm going with this is, I want you to drop that in the offering plate this morning. So if you think this is too revealing, then be warned, you can just keep the paper yourself. But I would love it if you felt like you could share that. And I'm going to ask Tan, our administrator, just to compile a list of what God seems to be doing amongst us. And then just compile a list of that and maybe talk about it at my sermon at the end of the month on the 31st. We are being called to reveal blank, love, joy, peace, patience, generosity, self-control, whatever it is, through blank. And as you're reflecting on that, I just want to throw out a few thoughts to help us start in this response of being discipleship revealed. I want us to start small. I want us to start by being called by joy. Mother Teresa has this quote that says, joy is hard work, but she still talks about following joy. So start small, start with joy, start by listening, and maybe for you to listen to what God might be calling you or us to, it might take some time. You might not be able to do that just today, right on the spot. Perhaps spiritual disciplines are helpful here, cultivating time and space to listen to God. Maybe it's walking through a prayer labyrinth. Maybe it's coming to our chapel, before service or spending time there after service, or if you're downtown, maybe slipping over through lunch hour and just taking time to sit there in the new beauty of our chapel and listen to what God might be calling you and us to. Maybe it's a matter of just joining something. I've prayed about STEP Team this morning. I've prayed about our partnership with ESL and MCN. I've prayed about our connection with E4C and the Mustard Seed. Maybe your response in being a fruit bearer this week or this month is to just join something that's already existing. We are being called to reveal blank through blank. If you don't jot that down this morning, maybe you'll come up with something during the week and you can send me an email or you can send an email to the office. In closing, I want to balance our propensity to become Christian workaholics with this quote from Eugene Peterson. He says, "I want to simplify your lives. When others are telling you to read more, I want to tell you to read less. When others are telling you to do more, I want to tell you to do less. For we do not progress in the Christian life by becoming more competent, more knowledgeable, more virtuous, or more energetic. We do not advance in the Christian life by acquiring expertise. Each day, and many times each day, we simply need more of God. And we need to return to square one, which he says is a place of listening to God and listening to God's word." As we close in prayer, maybe you'll continue to be inspired to jot something down. We're being called to reveal blank through dot, dot, dot. One moment of silent prayer and reflection, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Gracious and loving God, God who speaks, help us listen, even today and this week, as you call us to be fruit bearers. For your glory, we pray. Amen.